We're now ready to begin the sixth chapter of Job. Let's remember that Eliphaz, in his speech to Job in chapters 4 and 5, had been very critical of Job. He had really put Job through the mill. Yet Job did not interrupt him, but he heard him out. He patiently took the tongue lashing from Eliphaz. This is to Job's credit, because if we're going to make a correct judgment of a speech, we must hear all of it. But when Eliphaz finished his speech, then Job made his reply, and he speaks very strongly in his own defense. And so in this sixth chapter, we have Job's reply to Eliphaz's first speech. So let us read Job 6, verses 1 through 3. But Job answered and said, "Oh, that my grief were thoroughly weighed, and my calamity laid in the balances together. For now it would be heavier than the sand of the sea. Therefore my words are swallowed up." Job states that his condition was much heavier than they understood it to be. Maybe Job had not conveyed the true gravity of his condition. Or maybe they just did not understand just how bad it was. Or maybe he just was not able to accurately describe his condition. Or it could be that they just did not admit that they understood it. Anyway, Job would gladly appeal to a third party, one who had just weights and just balances, which could properly weigh his grief, which caused his misery. Now he wanted someone to look at his situation and be impartial as they gave a true assessment of it. He would like to put all of the reasons he suffered on one scale and all of the things he said about them on another scale and see how they balanced in the eyes of impartial justice. He feels that he would be justified in the way he expressed his grief. As he said in Job 23, verse 2, "My stroke is heavier than my groaning. I'm suffering more than I'm complaining. If you knew how badly I'm hurting, you would expect me to complain even more than I am." For whatever his complaints were, his suffering was heavier than the sand of the sea. His situation was very complicated with multiple problems, and each injury was very serious. Loss of wealth, loss of family, and loss of health. They are as numerous and as heavy as the sand of the sea. "My words are swallowed up," he says. "You must excuse the brokenness and the bitterness of my speech. Do not think it strange if my speech is not as fine and as polite as that of an eloquent orator, or so grave and effective as an educated philosopher. Knowing these circumstances, I cannot pretend to be either a good speaker or a highly educated communicator. My words are as I am, they're swallowed up." A part of his unhappiness has to be the fact that his friends attempted to psychoanalyze him before they understood the true facts of his case and knew the worst of it. It is seldom that those who are not involved with the miseries of others can fully weigh the afflictions of the afflicted. Everyone is influenced by his own burdens and has little feelings for the problems of others. Job is also here offering some excuse for having cursed his day. He could not justify all that he had said, yet he still felt that his friends had given him too much criticism. His case truly was extraordinary. Job desires to have a better understanding of his case by his friends. He would simply like for them to be more tolerant of his predicament. His suffering would be eased somewhat if only they had their pity. Verse 4, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me, the poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me." Here Job complains that the worst of his situation is the trouble and terror of his mind. In this regard, he was a type of Christ. As Christ suffered, he complained of the suffering of his soul. John 12:27, "Now is my soul troubled." Matthew 6:38, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Matthew 27:46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Job here complains of what he felt. "The arrows of the Almighty are within me," he says. It was not so much the troubles themselves that he complains of, such as the poverty, the pain, and the disgrace, but that which cut him to the heart and put him in such a state of agitation was to think that the God he loved and served had brought all this upon him and given him these painful blows to cause him so much displeasure. Let us remember that trouble of the mind is the worst kind of trouble. Psalms 18:14, "But a wounded spirit who can bear?" Whatever burden of affliction and loss of health, loss of wealth, or loss of loved ones God is pleased to lay upon us, we may all well be able to submit to it, as long as he continues to give us our mental soundness and a conscience free of guilt. But if we're disturbed in either our reasoning power or our conscience, our case is very sad and we're to be pitied indeed. The way to prevent God's fiery darts of trouble is the shield of faith to quench Satan's fiery darts of temptation. Note, Job calls them the arrows of the Almighty, for it is a demonstration of the power of God that he can, with his arrows, reach the soul. He that made the soul can penetrate its very depths. The poison or heat of these arrows is said to drink up his spirit. It disturbed his reason, shook his resolution, exhausted his energy, and threatened his life. For this reason, his passionate expressions with which he cursed his day might be excused, though they might not be justified. Job here also complains of what he feared. He saw himself being attacked by the terrors of God. It was as though an army fully equipped for battle surrounded him. God used these terrors to fight against him. Just as Job had no comfort when he turned to his inward thoughts, so also he had no comfort when he looked upward to heaven. Job used to receive encouragement from the consolations of God, but now he not only did not have these consolations, but he was confronted with the terrors of God. Verse 5 says, "Doth the wild ass bray when he hath grass, or loweth the ox over his fodder?" He now plainly tells his friends that they have been too hard on him when they criticized him for complaining. He feels that they had not made a good analysis of his case. He shows that they had no cause to scold him like they did. He points out that he only complained because of his severe affliction. But he never used to complain before this affliction came upon him. "There are some who are chronic complainers, but this is not my nature," Job says. He did not bray when he had grass, nor low over his fodder, according to verse 5. But now he has been utterly deprived of all his comforts. He would have to be like a stone if he did not give some show of feeling over his loss. That would be to have less feeling than an ox or a wild ass. So verse 6 says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg?" His choicest dish was bland food and the white of an egg. And he could not season them with a grain of salt to give them a little taste. Verse 7, "The things that my soul refused to touch are as my sorrowful meat." What he's saying is that he now ate even that food which he once would have rejected. But now it was his sorrowful meat. It is wise of us if we do not become too choosy about our present comforts, because we do not know how we may be reduced someday, so that which we now frown at, we may have to learn to eat because of necessity. Some may interpret verses 6 and 7 in a different light. He could simply be saying that his friends offered nothing for him that was what he needed. They did nothing to cheer his spirits or encourage him. What they offered him was as tasteless as the white of an egg, and when given to him, it was as disgusting as food not fit to eat. As we read this, we know that Eliphaz had said some excellent things. For example, in chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "I would seek to God, and unto God would I commit my cause." Now, that was a great thing for Eliphaz to say. So just as Eliphaz may have overreacted to Job's complaining, even so Job may have overreacted to Eliphaz's criticism. Strong feelings like Job had may grow more violent when they are met with some rebuke. The troubled sea rages more when it dashes against a rock. In chapter 3, Job had been wishing for death as a means to end his miseries. Because of this, Eliphaz had strongly rebuked Job. But instead of changing Job's mind, Job now makes the same request with even stronger feeling. His desire is expressed in a manner that is more crude than anything else Job says. It's recorded here to warn us not to have the same wish. Verse 8 says, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." He is still very anxious to die, as if he could not possibly see good days again in this world, or that he could ever make these days of affliction good days. He could see no other answer for his troubles but death, and he had not the patience to wait for the appointed time for that. He has a special request to make. Verse 8, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." You would think that he would request that it would please God to deliver me and restore my prosperity again, but no. He requests that he might have that thing that he longed for, which was to die. Job continues in verse 9, "Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. As once he let loose his hands to make me poor, and then to make me sick, let him loose it once more to put an end to my life. Let him give me the fatal stroke that will finish me off. He wishes for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Let us note that although Job was strongly desiring death, and angry because it was delayed, yet he did not offer to destroy himself nor take his own life. Only he begged that it would please God to destroy him. Any who have a regard for the law of God would never recommend self-murder. However uneasy the soul's confinement in the body may be, it must by no means break out of this prison, but wait to be discharged by the Master. Job puts his desire for death into a prayer, that God would grant him his request, that it would please God to do this for him. "Oh, that God would grant me the thing I long for," he says. It was wrong for Job to so passionately desire the hastening of his own death. Offering up a request to God for a wrong desire makes it no better. As a matter of fact, what looked bad in his wish looked worse in his prayer. We ought not to ask anything of God but what we can ask in faith. We cannot ask anything in faith but unless it's agreeable to the will of God. We must desire for his will to be done in all things. We should only ask those things in the name of Christ that are according to the will of God. If Job's death at this time were not according to the will of God, it was improper for Job to pray for it. Improper desires look no better as improper prayers. We must close our lesson at this point. Next time we'll begin with verse 10. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.